Where are we? We're at E3.
E3.
Yes.
I forgot.
E3. The
2009 E3. And we're at the Eidos booth with and we're sitting with Avalanche Studios, Magnus Nedfors
in English.
He is the game director for Just Cause 2, sequel
to Just Cause.
Just Cause.
Yeah.
I don't know. I forgot this was coming, and I kind of walked in the room, and it kind of kicked me in the ass a little bit.
All
right.
Yeah. The first thing I kind of walked away from this was the open world games always tout how much space they have.
Yeah.
And then this, you guys kept pulling back the map to show how big.
It's 400 square miles.
Yeah.
How does that compare to like the next? Like a typical, I mean, it seems like by far the largest, but
yeah, it's the same size of as we did in Just Cause 1.
Oh, is it?
And I don't think, at least back then, that was the largest open game world.
Right.
So.
Right. It was right at the end of the generation cycle.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just when it changed over.
Xbox One and Two.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we got a hands-on demo.
Okay.
Just now.
All right.
And Michael was playing it, but before we do that, like as the lead on it, what are the like big things you're trying to do to improve the original Just Cause
compared to the first one, or just in general?
Just a little bit of both. Like
okay,
things to improve it, and maybe things you thought could take the sandbox idea a little farther.
All right.
Did you work on the first
one? Yeah, I was working on the first one. I was the lead designer for the first one.
What do you hate most about the first
one? The disconnection between main missions and side missions.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. So the sort of the mission structure in the first one was a bit more linear than the second one is. Mm. And in the first one, we had great main missions, I think. We really succeeded with them. And sort of the red line through the game worked. But all the side activities, they were fun by themselves, but they didn't really connect to the main story arc.
Yeah.
So that was what my personally...
And that is remedied this time?
Yeah, absolutely. We were totally sort of changed how we do both. Mm. Sort of structure-wise, how the game is working, how you unlock new missions and stuff like that. But also, we have tried really hard to make all the side activities contribute to the main story of the game, so to get a better connection. So the first one was a bit both gameplay-wise and story-wise, they were bits disconnected, and that's something that we really want to change.
What's an example, or can you share an example of how you've remedied that? How it's different this time.
You look like you can't say anything.
Well, I can say something, but it's kind of hard to describe it without playing the game and showing you that you're in the game, how we remedy it. But I can talk a bit about how it works now, where with areas of influence, sort of to open up missions and activities you can do, you have to start off by taking over a stronghold. Mm-hmm. Sort of to capture one of the military strongholds from the government of the island. By doing that, you do that for a faction that is on the island, and you sort of give control to them. In return, you get an area that open up for you, and within that area, you will unlock more missions. And there are a number of different strongholds, so the world is sort of divided into regions, and you can do them in any order you want to. You can start in the northwest corner if you want to, you can start in the middle if you want to, so just go anywhere and
cool.
So that's and we also filled the world with much more activities, like with bigger variation than the first one, because the first one partially rightfully got accused of being it's big but it's empty.
Mm-hmm.
So we have filled it with much more content for you to experience as a player.
It seemed like the demo that we saw a second ago, like right out of the gate. I mean, obviously you would need to be experienced player to pull these tricks off. But
absolutely,
like, they were like the guy. He
asked
like dove skydive off the top of this very tall building.
Yeah,
pulls
navigated
a shoot
through the trees.
Yeah, pulls a shoot at the last second. Flies under the bridge, like bobs and weaves with this stunt parachute, so you can kind of like make these big turns, and then lands right on a speedboat, takes a speedboat to the island, hops in a chart, like, and it's all seamless. And
absolutely,
that seemed like a lot to do and very, you know, packed in real close to each
absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely, the stuff that you describe, sort of, we call it that. Well, we say that Rico is a stunt junkie.
Uh-huh.
You know, he likes to pull off all those crazy stuff, and that's sort of what gets him going. So base jumping, parachuting, you know, car surfing, you know, standing on the top of vehicles and so on, right. Attacking other vehicles and so on.
Where did the idea for the grappling hook, like being able to hook it onto other objects, like hooking a car onto the road?
Absolutely.
Where did that come from?
Well,
Zelda or Bionic Command?
No, I would say that all the inspiration that we have for the grappling hook is actually Just Cause 1. Because we had a grappling hook in Just Cause 1 as well, but it was a bit more limited. Mm. You couldn't do as much, and you had to equip it as a weapon in that game.
This thing is crazy.
Yeah, so and now you have it sort of on your arm, as
I believe
Bionic Commander for all matters.
I believe we saw somebody riding atop a speeding car, grappling a car, and then grappling the car to the road to yank the car backwards. Yeah.
Like a Terminator, Terminator 3 style, flip the fire truck over.
Yeah, you can grapple, sort of double tether everything together. Yeah, so you can two cars to each other, two people to each other.
And you then use the tether to clothesline someone and decapitate them.
No.
There's still time.
There's still time. Yeah, absolutely.
But without the decapitation, can you close line?
Yeah, no. It's the line will break if you sort of put all touch. Right. If you put too much tension on it.
What kind of rating are we looking at?
It will be mature. Yeah.
All right, so decapitation shouldn't be. Oh, I'm just saying.
enough for decapitation.
All right, yeah, all right. Decapitation could be fun. I would agree to that.
I'll take this shit to Majesco.
Yeah.
We'll be like, yes, we'll put that in the next Cooking Mama.
Well, you guys are looking at a 2010 release date.
Yeah, that's true.
And we look forward to seeing more of you guys. Definitely hit us up.
Okay, definitely.
Yeah, it definitely kind of came from, I forgot this game was coming completely until we walked into the tour. And then like right away, it was kind of like, wow, this...
Kind of grabbed
us right away from, I mean, obviously the expert player we had but it showed what's possible.
That's pretty pretty. It was like,
it was really lovely.
Like the first one was pretty, but it was sort of first generation.
Yeah,
Xbox
absolutely.
360 pretty. This was really genuine.
Yeah, we're taking, you know, we rewritten the whole engine for the game and so on. Mm. Because as you mentioned, the first game was also released on PS2 and the original Xbox.
Right. Yeah.
So,
what was the location? Was it a real country?
It's a fictive country.
Was it a fictive?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's inspired from.
Oh, I've heard of that place.
Yeah. It's like we have made a lot of research for real places and so on. So.
All right. Well,
we're getting kicked out.
We have to get out of here.
All right. Kicked out.
Dude, Magnus is awesome.
Thanks, guys. I'm really glad that you liked it.
It was impressive.
Thanks.
We'll see more of you in 2010.
Absolutely. Bye-bye. You will.
Awesome.